Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks. Thanks to Javon Kearse, who was on the show.
Great interview.
To Jeremiah Trotter, Billy King, Mike Quick, Mickey Morandini.
I was going to talk to a real basketball guy.
Billy King?
When we had Billy King on.
Yeah, he gave me a backhanded compliment. They tried to make up for it.
He did.
Yeah.
That's what they always say. The old GMs in town. Always really the passion thing.
No respect.
Yeah. No respect for us, just fans of the team.
Well, and in fairness, I used to argue with Billy on the air about stuff without the respect I should have for him.
Correct.
As a former general manager.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was arguing with you or something.
Well, that's how you are, though. Now, before we get to the top five, have you noticed?
I have one thing, too, before we get to the top five as well.
We got time to kill.
Okay.
We got time to kill. Have you noticed that Insider of the Year candidates, I feel like, are looking at both of us with a bit of a side eye?
Yep. Almost like they don't even want to say hi.
Yeah, it's like a little timid to come over.
Yeah.
Maybe don't want to come over.
Yep.
And then are wondering if they're going to say something wrong.
Yep.
I've noticed in some of the Insider of the Year candidates that we've seen here, a little worried, I think, about what we might pick up on.
Well, let me tell you guys, you're on the clock always.
We're always watching.
You're always on the clock. I'm judging your job performance. Look, our job performance gets reported on, you know, how we're doing, ratings and stuff. So
people tweeted us and let us know how awesome we are.
Yep.
YouTube comments filled with positivity.
Yep, always very, very positive. Mostly about us, not always about Ike, really.
Ike, you look great today. Yep. Ike, oh, how do you do it? Ike, please like my tweet.
Last thing, before we get to the top five at five. And this isn't the case here. It just reminded me of it being in the public restroom. Have you noticed that in public, this is very
Was there a guy going no hands?
No. And this is
hate those people.
Yeah, this is a very Seinfeldian thing. Have you noticed you go into a public restroom, the sign says you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds like vigorously, and then the automatic water goes for 3 seconds?
Yeah. It's wrong.
What's going on? Am I supposed to wash my hands for 3 seconds or 20 seconds?
Yeah.
And if it's 20 seconds, then the automatic water in the faucet should be for 20 seconds.
So I'm pretty out on the automatic water. I also hate the push. That never stays on long enough.
Yeah, but also I don't want to have to touch the thing again after I'm done washing my hands.
Yeah, I guess that could be a case for it. It's really just the push that I have a problem.
Or I don't know if you remember these. Some stadiums used to have it. Give me the foot control. Let me hit the foot for the water.
I'm not that old.
Oh.
I'm definitely not that
old. Nah, they had some of the foot water things.
were you old enough for the trowel?
The trough?
Yeah, the trough.
Oh, yeah, I peed in a trough. The vet had some troughs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I peed in a trough. Bring that back.
Well, you got to be pretty confident to be peeing in a trough.
I know.
Pretty confident or pretty drunk.
They are disgusting.
Yeah. You don't see any no-hands guys at the trough.
No. All right, again, the cockiness of the no-hands men at these.
This is going to be quite an hour. Buckle up.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show, buckle up. You're going to want to be part of this.
Should we ask Brian Dawkins that question?
Yeah. You ever go no hands?
Yeah, you ever go no hands?
All right. Hit the thing, Buzz. Please.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
All right. So what I have for you today.
Yeah.
Is the five people at WIP I am the most disappointed in currently.
Okay.
Now, I'm largely always disappointed at many of my coworkers. So this is this could be updated many, many times.
Some might say they're often disappointed in you.
I actually don't know if that's true.
Oh, really?
I feel like I got a pretty high Q rating in the building.
Really?
Yeah, I think just you are always disappointed in me.
Not always.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not always.
Yeah. All right, so what have you there? Yeah. So number five. It's Spike.
All right. What did I do?
Well, you're supposed to be someone who once led this station.
Oh, here we go.
And is a supposed to be a guy that makes people around you better, right?
I do.
Rather than making everyone tight.
I do.
On Friday.
What did I do?
No issues with the callers, with Buzz. And I just wonder if maybe there was someone who wasn't in that seat, who you're always just grilling him to where he has the yips back there. Like, you're supposed to lift Buzz up, and I think you have him in such a pickle that he just doesn't know what to do. He was so relieved on Friday that you weren't there that it really helped his performance.
Well, let me explain something to you, Jack. There's primetime performers and there's non-primetime performers. And if Buzz wants to be a primetime performer, he'll be able to perform no matter who's in that seat. And if you're telling me that I put too much pressure on him, then, you know, what does they say? What's the saying? Pressure busts pipes or whatever?
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah. Well, I need Buzz to be a diamond.
What do you think he is?
I think he's a lump of coal.
Like a rock?
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep squeezing him until he becomes a diamond.
Buzz, do you agree with that assessment? I mean, you seem so stress-free and carefree on Friday.
So for the record, I never complained about this. This was your thing that you noticed. But I will say the callers seem to be more in line.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
Okay.
Interesting how that happened.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Number four, people I'm most disappointed in currently at WIP is Joe Giglio.
Oh, what did he do?
Well, there's this new kid on the block. This scrappy young fella. Alex Call.
Oh, yeah?
And
wow, you're bringing him up.
And, you know,
he's a part-time producer here at WIP.
Yeah. Slash insider of the decade.
Right.
And Giglio the other day says I'm no longer the top baseball guy at WIP.
By that Alex Collins?
Yeah. And that was quite disappointing. And, again, I'm rooting for the kid. I hope he
you're not
hope just, he does well.
Alex, if you're listening, he's not rooting for
that's
you.
That's not true.
Well,
that's not true.
He's not rooting for you.
But, again, take a deep breath.
Wow.
Joe Giglio.
Wow.
Yeah. It hurt a little bit. Me and Joe have been through a lot of wars. We got a lot of battles.
Yeah, well, I mean, some don't know you were the producer of his night show.
Put him on the map.
It was a great show, you guys.
It was a great show.
It was a good show, you guys.
We always said we raised the IQ of the station.
Well, that I don't know about. That I don't know about.
Also, Giglio panicking yet again today. This guy's, you want to talk about Chicken Little. I mean, he really is just always panicking.
Well, the Phils look terrible this week.
Yeah, I know.
Bad defense, bad bullpen.
Have a backbone. The third person at WIP that I am the most disappointed in currently is Joe DeCamera.
Oh, what did he do?
Well, he gets this big show, right? You know, he's finally named the morning show host.
Yep, Joe DeCamera and Friends.
Joe DeCamera and Friends, a.k.a. No One Else Allowed to Talk.
Yep.
And he takes off once a week now. If it's not a Monday, it's a Friday. I look at the schedule every week. There's the camera off again. I mean, it comes down to having personal pride in your show, right? And he's just starting to take off a lot for someone you'd think that would be so happy to be in that chair.
Look, he needs his, you know, he has professed that he needs his, like, away time so he can grind during football season.
But you know, we all do.
Boomer and Geo.
He has nothing else to do. That's my issue.
So Boomer and Geo, morning show at WFAN. Geo used to tell me they would take all this time off during the summer, right? Way more time than DeCamera. And Geo knew I hated it. And he goes, yeah, but then as soon as Labor Day happens, we're working all the way through to Thanksgiving. And I was like, no kidding. You're going to work every day for 3 months? Wow.
What a war.
I can't believe it. Look, now, didn't you just say before we went on the air that you were going to take more days off?
Well, now that I see you and Ike's work ethic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm starting to see an uptick in off days. I didn't know that was okay.
I took one vacation day.
Yeah, and he moved, and he took three other ones on top of that.
I took two when I closed on my house and when I moved.
Yeah, and then you went to Disney.
Dude, I'm a
That's
grinder.
That's three.
I don't want to hear that.
That's three?
I'm a grinder.
Ike's up to, I mean, again, he won't turn down a charity golf tournament.
Yep, if you need somebody to play in your charity golf tournament, call Ike. Doesn't matter
Four
if it's
more
during
the week.
Paternity
leave coming?
Yeah, look, there might be a third week of paternity leave right around the corner. All right. The second people at WIP that I'm most disappointed
in. The second what?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Well, because this is a group of people.
Okay.
It's not a All person.
Right. Fair enough.
Is Paul Jalovitz, Tom Kelly, Devin Caney, and those like them, that are anti-bringing Rhys Hoskins back. I'm so disappointed. TK, I mean, he's never had a deep thought in his life. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he's got a high voice.
No second level thinking with TK.
Okay, what is TK's reasoning?
He's a casual fan, like trying to play the nostalgia card. Jolly's tweeting, couldn't stop tweeting about Rhys Hoskins this weekend, about how it's just a nostalgia trip. I mean, learn the game. I mean, just learn the game.
Well, because the question really is Rhys Hoskins a better hitter than Max Kepler?
Sure.
That's what it ends up
and
being,
Max
right?
Kepler.
Or if Max Kepler moves to center, is he a better hitter than the some sort of combination of Rojas, Marsh, and Kepler?
Yeah. I mean, he just makes the Phillies better. It's a name, obviously, that people know. So I think that just to throw it out there. But it's also, it doesn't not make sense. That's what drives me crazy about the whole discussion. It does make sense. And I do think it does make the entire team, I think it would raise I think they'd be better with Rhys Hoskins in the lineup. I know he's not great defensively. I get it. But to just shoo it off as like a nostalgia trip, I don't view it as a nostalgia trip. I don't view it. I mean, I know people love to bring the Flyers thing up. The Eagles brought back Trot.
Wow. I mean, that wasn't.
He was great the first time. It was the second time when he was on WIP. That was the issue. You know, the Eagles brought Hugh back after Jacksonville.
The Sixers brought back Iverson.
But he was cooked. I mean, Iverson was done. Like, Rhys Hoskins is having a really good year. He has 9 home runs. He's at number 280. I think there's a little too much poo-pooing the idea because they just don't like Rhys Hoskins.
Well, here's what I think about it. I don't know why you would be against it. That's the only thing that I can't get to. Like, I don't know. I can understand somebody thinking it's not the cure-all for what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
But they've been missing a power bat in the middle of the lineup for the last 2 years.
He's a patient right-handed hitter.
You can tell the difference in their lineup with him out of it and with him in it. Like, the last 2 years, because I remember I was talking about Pete Alonso last year. Having a right-handed power bat in the middle of the – or wait, Rhys Hoskins.
What? He's a right-handed.
Right-handed power bat. Yeah, sorry. I was like having a stroke or something.
Are you
there.
Be okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right. Having a right-handed power bat in the middle of the lineup, who, by the way, is patient, makes the lineup, puts everybody else in a better spot. Would you rather have Alec Bohm hitting cleanup or Rhys Hoskins?
Well, when Harper's back, it'll be fifth.
Well, but you know
and
what
I'm saying. And it bumps Castellanos down another spot, bumps Bohm down another spot. Kepler, by the way, I mean, if he turns, he could be like Jeff Jenkins in 2008, where he's like some kind of power-ish type bat off the bench.
When you did the show on a Friday, what was the reaction?
Yeah, it was more pro. Okay. It was more pro. And then he had the big day on Saturday, so that certainly helped things.
Well, and then the other thing I want to say is finally you're understanding that Paul Jalovitz is full of it. I'm going to be honest with you. On Thursday, when I didn't have a show because we had the doubleheader, I watched the debate. Paul Jalovitz didn't make any good points in the entire debate. And I love Paul. I think Jolly is, as I said, legendary host at WIP. He didn't make any good points in that debate. He has no logic behind his Daryl Morey point. The debate was all whining and crying that Daryl Morey hasn't won a championship. And none of his logic tied together. He was telling me he was throwing Mikal Bridges in my face. Yeah. Mikal Bridges hasn't won a championship either. That debate bothers me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and the fact
everyone was so pro Jolly. That's
yeah.
What bothers
well,
me
and the fact that
it.
People think Jolly won the debate is infuriating. He didn't win
can
the debate.
Tell. Yeah. I feel like we're you're gonna watch it again. I'm sure.
He didn't win the debate. I'm gonna listen to it on the way home.
I know you are, and then you're gonna provide a full breakdown.
Yeah,
you should break it all down on YouTube one day to sit here and say this is a bad point.
Actually,
I'm sick and tired of this.
Where's Tucker? I'm happy to do a Is Tucker around here somewhere? Yeah. I'm happy to do a video, Tucker, breaking down the me and Jolly debate with a me and Jolly debate footage in there.
I need you with a telestrator, okay. too.
Yes,
like
I would love
circling
to.
Circling issues of the debate.
I just want to stop it each time he makes a point and point out how full of it he was. I'm insulted. I am the... All right.
You are the what?
The host of the afternoon drive show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the foremost authority on Sixers basketball.
No.
It's like,
no,
wow,
no,
no. You jumping to a...
Well, and was named... number one program director in America 3 different times.
Nice.
All right.
What was it, 3?
No, I got screwed by Rick Radzik once. Number one twice and number two twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one day we'll get Lincoln up there.
Yeah.
One day. But the number one person at WIP that I'm most disappointed in is James Seltzer.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Ike for not being on the show today.
Oh, well, I was going to do him not inviting me.
Okay.
For this and last night, but it would only be funny if he's here.
Wow, Seltzer.
Yeah, well, so we go to Reading on Saturday.
Yep.
We're going to see Aiden Miller.
High Hopes Night.
And Aiden, by the way, the absolute man. He's a great dude.
Now, at any point, now that you're becoming an older guy.
No, I know
you're 31.
I know what you're gonna say.
No, look, I'm in there with you. But at any point when you're talking to Aiden Miller and you're talking about what a big fan everybody is, are you ever like, hey, I'm 10 years older than this guy?
No, I know. Okay. I know. Well, that's why they were like, all right, so inside the show,
yeah,
they were like, well, you know, his birthday is next week when he turns 21. We should do it that night. I was like, what am I? I look like a creep, you know? Like, I just was out on that idea.
You'll buy him a beer?
Yeah. Well, make him a cake? So, no, it was a seltzer. We go to the game. They let us throw out the first pitch. And, I mean, he throws an absolute worm burner.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It
was like 4 feet in front of the
plate. It barely reached the dirt around the catcher's mound. So, it went over the head, too. So, the wind-up over the head.
He did a wind-up.
Felt a little cocky.
Yep.
And he bounced it. It was a really bad first pitch. And then he left in the sixth inning. I mean, I know, and I'm just teasing him. Because his family was very ready to leave, and I felt bad. It was raining in gold.
Well, maybe you don't bring your family. Val doesn't come to Ricky's stuff anymore.
Well, she came to the last one.
She 5 minutes.
I know.
To bring the dog and then get out of there.
Yeah. So, just a brutal first pitch by James Seltzer.
Yeah, it was. Jack sent me the video proudly, and yeah, I barely hear from Jack all weekend. All I do is get the video of Seltzer bouncing the pitch.
I checked in like 3 times to see if you're over Disney World yet.
You did.
Easy.
And I was having a good time.
I know, which was shocking. I was shocked to hear you're having a good time.
This hour sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
How did your pitch go? Your pitch was fine?
No,
boy.
Well, so I think adrenaline must have taken over. Like, I have this fantasy, I guess you would call it at this point, that one of these days I'm going to wake up and my arm's going to be, throw 92. So.
Well, that's not going to happen.
You don't know that.
Yeah?
You don't know that. And by the way, the worst thing that you could have told a younger Jack was that Billy Wagner broke his right arm and then he started throwing 100 from his left side. Because then I could be like, Mom, I got an idea. but so I get up there, adrenaline starts going, and it was like a kid behind that was catching all the first pitches because it was like a group.
Yeah.
Whipped it at this kid. I mean, like, I thought today's the day that the arm's coming back. So, like, it was low. It would have been a strike if he caught it, but, like, went right past him.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So... it wasn't a great first pitch. It didn't bounce. It was low.
Does your arm hurt?
No, she feels all right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some sink on that pitch, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, like Derek Lowe.
And Aiden Miller, what was his performance?
He smoked a double in the first inning.
Ah, that was for you guys.
It was good. It was good.
All you grown-ups cheering for a little kid.
he's 21-ish.
Yeah.
So he smoked that, and then he had a hit late. And he played some good defense at shortstop. Looked pretty spry out there.
Have you been to that stadium before?
Yeah, so I went there in 2018 because we did that one bit with Giulio where I would still throw 80.
Oh,
at
right.
At a first pitch.
Yep.
And I hit 78 and a half.
Yep, so, I remember that.
So that was the first time. But I think that was the first time I'd been there since 2001. Like my first, I actually found the ticket stub in my room the other day. My first baseball game ever was a Redding game in 01.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe your first baseball game was in 01. Dude, there's a picture of me in the 1980 World Series, and your first baseball game was 01.
Yeah.
I'm much older than you.
Dude, the Redding State, it's so minor league baseball.
Yeah, it's baseball town. That's Redding, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Redding that I went to when they had the Ryan Howard Garden Gnome.
Oh, yeah?
And we got there, and dude, like the line was around the block, and there were people walking out of there with like two gnomes, three gnomes. I was like, what the hell is going on here? We didn't get a gnome. We got there too late.
Yep. It's all time.
Yeah, but they have great giveaways there.
No, they
Redding
do.
Baseball games are great.
No, it's minor league baseball personified.
It's about an hour.
It was like 45 from Westchester, so not bad. But, but yeah, we met Aiden before the game, and he was super cool. And then after the game, with mobbed by 1,000 kids trying to sign autographs, he came over and took a picture with our group. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it was cool.
Well, great High Hopes night at Redding with Jack.
And then I'm sure we'll be at Lehigh Valley soon as we continue the Aiden Miller road to the show.
Lehigh Valley soon. Oh, right. Do you think he's going to – or do you think he just goes right to –
No, I think maybe by July, August.
Oh,
gets
really?
Up to
Triple A?
He's got to really start playing well.
I just thought sometimes they skip Triple A now.
Yeah, I don't think they – well, if Crawford's already there, so right. I think they're having these guys kind of go through it a little bit.
Buzz, it says one thing at this for me, but I actually think it's a different one. Can you just confirm that you're wrong?
Already tight already.
Well, I just want to make sure.
What am I confirming that I'm wrong?
Colonial is here, right? You have something different.
Oh, yes, I am wrong. You are correct.
Yeah. All right,
wow, Buzz, come on, man. I just – defended you on the top five.
I just want to be sure.
Wow, and Spike's back, and all of a sudden, Buzz falls apart.
Yep, 215-592-9494. This is what you're dealing with.
Do you have a clutch gene, Buzz?
He doesn't.
Have you ever done anything clutch in your life?
I had a half-court buzzer beater in intramural basketball once.
He's LeBron in the clutch over here.
Well, LeBron actually has more buzzer beaters than Michael Jordan.
All right, this is the...
He does. He's one of the best clutch players of all time by the numbers.
He's not. Just like Reese is a great defensive third baseman.
He's not a third baseman.
Oh,
idiot.
First baseman. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cried out,
heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And will it let me say? Let me say.
This is weird.
Yeah. Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down.
Clark's concerned.
Yep.
Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down.
Where's Ike?
I'm so far down.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, what a disaster.
We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks.
Was that delayed, Buzz?
No, not too bad.
All right.
I have to say, we've done a lot in awkward situations. We did it at the Truist Championship. We did it on Radio Row.
Yeah.
But I would say that that is the most awkward one we've done in that it is incredibly quiet. It's toward the end of the golf tournament here at the B-Doc, Celebrity Golf Tournament. And there's absolutely no one who wanted us to do it here.
No.
You know, usually there's a few people who are amused by it.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't even getting the curiosity looks.
No.
We were getting the awkward, shame, ignoring stuff.
Well, and the straight disgust.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just what are they doing?
Yeah.
Not at this distinguished place.
No, no.
Not at Penn Oaks.
No. And this is a private course?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 And
Johnny Airport's looked like he could not distance himself further from
Well,
us.
You know what? Screw Johnny Airport in that, because he should be coming over and singing it with us.
Yeah, he should.
You know, that's on Johnny Airport.
As a Bruceman.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I always thought he was Bruce number one, but we were talking to him. He might be a Pearl Jam number one guy.
He loves Pearl Jam.
Which guy has to kill your soul. I can't believe you're anti-Pearl Jam.
And, well, I don't hate them anymore. I just don't like them.
That's good.
I used to hate them. He'll always remember me getting him tickets to that event. That was 20 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because you're a class act.
You know it. I've always been a class act. The Twitter question, I haven't always. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget. Visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Do you have real concerns about the Phillies after this weekend, or was it just a bad series? 53.5% say it was just a bad series. My head tells me just a bad series. Gut tells me I didn't like watching those games.
Well, it was not a fun watch at all.
No.
I mean, Friday was just a normal waste of time. Yesterday
yes.
was a waste of time. And Saturday was a bloodbath.
At least Saturday, I had more trouble with Sunday's loss than Saturday's.
Yeah.
Saturday was just like, all right, this happens, whatever. Yesterday's loss, was it 2-0 or was it 2-1?
It was 2-1 when Turner made the error. It was 2-0 earlier in it.
Yeah. Just the combination of the Weston Wilson misplay, then the Turner error. Was there another one that inning, I feel like? Or was it just those two?
No, it was just those two.
Yeah.
It was just those two. But then on top of that with Saturday, the Cassianos play.
Yep.
And actually, like Stott didn't get to a ball that he usually gets to.
The one
well.
Up the middle.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was sloppy. It was sloppy.
Yep.
But whatever.
Well, why don't we talk a little, Phils?
All right.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So, Mick Abel's back up. Now, he's not going to start tomorrow like originally planned. They changed it around, so he's going to start Wednesday.
Who's starting tomorrow?
I believe tomorrow is Wheeler.
Okay.
So they
Wheeler got scratched.
Wheeler did. Is it because he's on... I think his wife is about to...
Wives do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Tuesday, Sanchez. Wednesday, Abel. Thursday, Lizardo.
Okay.
So Lizardo in a bounce-back spot. I'm excited for Abel. I think Saturday really, with what happened with Lizardo and having to have him wear it and jacking up ZRA and not having a long man they could go to, I think it forced their hand to put Taiwan in the rotation, or Taiwan in the bullpen.
Even though they keep saying that Taiwan is a one-inning high-leverage guy.
Yeah, well, again, I think they're going to push Joe Ross more into a high leverage spot and let maybe Taiwan take the Joe Ross kind of spot, kind of situation.
Well, Joe Ross has some stuff.
Some, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in a great bullpen, he's a long man and a spot starter. They don't need a spot starter because they have so many. But he's not bad.
No, I kind of like Joe Ross. So let me ask you this about Mick Abel. So you had mentioned prior that you thought Mick Abel was sort of like trade bait, right, for
uh-huh.
potentially. Are they running any risk of bringing him up? And, like, they had this one start mm-hmm. in the majors where he looked great. He's pitching well in the minors. Is there any concern that you bring him up and you expose him a little bit more and maybe he gets knocked around and it hurts his trade value? Or is it just not game to game? And, by the way, he gets probably, what, two starts?
Probably, because then Nola's
going
to be back. But he might stay, if he's pitching well, Thompson said he might stay up here. So and maybe they go six-man to try to lighten the load on the starters.
Yeah.
They could do that. So I wonder if my new thing on Abel, I do still think that he's obviously trade bait, and he's actually helping his trade value. I don't think he had much trade value this offseason and in the past couple years. I wonder if he's changing their minds.
And they might want to keep him.
Yeah, yeah, and it comes down to the trade deadline. And let's say he's here. They should probably start him through the trade deadline for trade value reasons. Now, they could put him in the bullpen if they just decide on keeping him. But if they decide on trading him, then you just keep starting him and see how it goes. But I think I do wonder about him in the bullpen. Like if that's that could be their plan post trade deadline if all their starters
just
are back
for this year.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about keeping him beyond this year. I guess the question ends up being like it really ends up being a NOLA question to an extent, right? Because Rangers, well, no, I guess you could use both Painter and McAble.
Well, and
right?
That's where I was getting to. Like,
no, it becomes a NOLA question because Wheeler's locked in, Sanchez locked in, Lizardo locked in.
Mm-hmm.
The question's NOLA.
About what?
Well, whether you need two starters. Whether Abel can be a starter and Painter can be a starter.
Yeah. But even if those guys are both here. Well, and then the other thing I was, as we're trying to figure out creative ways to make the Phillies better, and Ben Davis brought this up with the morning show last week, is the idea of trading Ranger at the deadline.
Right.
If you have a surplus of starters already. Now, he'd have to go to a team that's competing and needs a starter, and then it would just have to be like a perfect match in a way.
Would you trade him to the Dodgers?
I don't know what the Dodgers would.
Well, the Dodgers, half their staff is injured.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of what they would give back.
Okay.
Like, what would be the return?
Right.
There's going to be some interesting roster decisions here. But with Ranger, like, if there is a surplus, I would at this point trade Ranger before Abel. I mean, he's 23. He showed the kind of stuff that he showed in that Pirate start. Now,
well, they're not going to re-sign Ranger.
And they're not going to re-sign Ranger. Like, I wouldn't trade Abel for a expiring Ryan Helsley because it helps this year's team and then let Ryan Helsley walk. Now, if he's in a package for, like, a Felix Bautista or a guy that's under contract for a couple years, okay, maybe. But he might be changing their plans with how well he's pitching. So I think it's definitely one that to monitor. Now, the one idea I brought up on Thursday when you weren't here is, let's say they keep all the starters, everything's going to plan, no one's injured, and they have to put someone in the bullpen to help raise the level of the bullpen. In five out of his last six starts, Chris Sanchez has gone 90 pitches or under. So is that limiting workload? Do they have workload concerns with him? I don't know. But his stuff out of the bullpen, he's already under contract.
He's good at pitching with guys on base.
Sure. Now, the contrary is that he's your third best starter probably, or could be your second best starter. He's a really solid starting pitcher. But let's say they keep Ranger. Let's say Abel comes up and pitches really well. Painter eventually gets up here.
What's the advantage of putting Sanchez in the bullpen and not Ranger at that point?
Well, I think he could be like a weapon out of the bullpen if they wanted to do it that way. I don't know. We're all trying to piece this whole thing together.
Well, because they're not going to be able to trade for enough relievers.
They're going to have to put one of those guys in there.
Yeah,
they're trading for. I think they're only trading for one reliever.
And they need two guys.
And they'll put one of those guys in the bullpen. And maybe Ranger refuses to go to the bullpen because of the contract thing, and he doesn't want to do it. Chris Sanchez out of the bullpen.
All right. So I'm just thinking about the playoffs now. It really comes down to. It just keeps coming back down to NOLA.
Yeah, sure. Like, you're not putting him in the bullpen if NOLA doesn't bounce back.
If NOLA's not right, yeah.
Bounce back and is an all right pitcher.
You need NOLA to be right.
Sure.
For any of those things to work.
Yeah. NOLA, I guess, probably another week. Miss a couple starts here.
Yep.
With the ankle. So we'll see. And then the Red Sox have made they're probably going to trade Aroldis Chapman. Just a stone Philly. I mean, if there's ever a lock to be a Philly, it's either him or Kenley Jansen at the trade deadline.
Let me tell you, let me explain this.
Great.
To the WIP, to you, to the WIP listener. If they trade for Aroldis Chapman and the Phillies are in the playoffs will end with Aroldis Chapman on the mound.
He's got a little Kimbrel in the postseason.
He is, and I said this with Estevez last year, and I was right. I watched Aroldis Chapman 3 years ago. By the way, not a team guy. Just another thing to throw out there. I watched Aroldis Chapman 3 years ago with the Yankees. He was cooked 3 years ago. The guy is cooked. He will definitely disappoint you. This is the problem with every bullpen arm they're going to trade for, is that they're going to need those guys to be better than they are. Honestly, that's the problem. If Aroldis Chapman was just one of your guys, that would be fine.
But he's not a bad Alvarado replacement.
I'm telling you, he's not
a star back there, but for an Alvarado replacement, he's got a 1.8 ERA so far this year.
I'm a guy who used to love Aroldis Chapman. I'm telling you, that guy's cooked.
He's in the postseason. He's terrifying. 100% terrifying. I've seen a lot of Aroldis Chapman memes.
Yep.
But now one of those home runs was Jose Altuve when he was wearing the
So he's cheating. So, yeah, that's your big thing.
Well, he had the wire on. He ran straight into the dugout and changed his shirt, and then came back out for the post game press conference. Seems a little fishy. But Chapman just reeks of being a Philly.
Yeah. Like, well, and Dombrowski will get him for almost nothing, right? I mean, nobody's going to trade anything for.
I mean, he's having a good year. We'll see.
I got it. You know who I'm going to have to break out? Inside the numbers, Spike. I'm going to have to bring it. That's what happened with Estevez.
Yeah.
I looked a little deeper. I'm going to have to look at Chapman.
Billy Bean asking, yeah.
Yeah. How much is he? Is he at 100 miles an hour at least?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's still got 100 in the bag. All
right. Well, he used to throw 103.
I know.
Yeah.
1.8 ERA. Learning how to pitch in his old age.
No, really?
Yeah. The Red Sox also might trade.
Also not a team guy.
If you're looking for a guy that's going to cost a ton trade-wise, but he's also your answer in center field, they might trade Jarren Duran, their center fielder, where you're starting with, I mean, that's, you probably have to put Aiden on the table. But if you want to lock down the center field position for the next couple, he's under contract till 29.
But then you're just trading one problem for another.
Well, yeah, you're probably going to need Aiden to play shortstop here soon.
Yeah.
So.
Well, or third base.
Or third.
Yeah.
Or third. Yeah. Or second.
Yeah.
Stott's cool at all. It's stink. I mean, I'm pro Stott, but.
He'll end up at 274.
Yeah, just shocking that he's down to like 250-something now.
Yeah. Because he had a bad month.
He was playing so well.
Yep. So, big news in Eagles land today. Did you see the Saquon thing? Did you see it? I saw it announced basically on his Instagram.
Oh, I saw Schefter tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I discovered it. I'm looking at Instagram. I see the Saquon Instagram, and they're on a set, and he is hurtling backwards over someone, and he says something like he is honored to be on the cover of Madden. This is disastrous. Like, I'm very happy for Saquon. I want to say, personally, I'm happy that Saquon had the season he had and now is having the time of his life in the offseason. I'm happy that he gets to be on the cover of Madden, which for somebody, you know, any of our ages, 25 to 50, being on the cover of Madden would be one of the greatest things of all time. Barry Sanders, on the cover of Madden, retires the next year.
Great.
Dante Culpepper, 0-2, on the cover of Madden, was 0-5 and then tore ligaments in his knee. Michael Vick broke his leg in the preseason.
But Madden 04 is one of the best video games of all time.
It's a great video game. Donovan, we know Donovan. Sean Alexander, 07, breaks his leg the next year. Never gets 100 yards again. Troy Polamalu, sprained MCL week one, misses 11 games. Peyton Hillis, disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Peyton Hillis doesn't even exist anymore. Antonio Brown, 2019, went crazy. Lamar Jackson, next year, Ravens don't make the playoffs. Christian McCaffrey, 2024, what happens? He barely plays last year because all his knee issues. And then Saquon. It's not a good list.
No. No, I don't even think it's a bit. I'm worried about next year's Eagles team. Like, I really am. I mean, this.
No, you're not worried. You're excited.
This team on top of everything else, I mean, spelling for a disaster. There's no way. There's just no way that I would be very surprised if Saquon has another unbelievable year.
So it's all on the quarterback.
Sure. See how that goes.
The text line is brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com.
Text line.
This is the greatest vacation ever!
Val finding a TV in the hotel room.
Ah,
unreal. Unreal.
There was a TV in the hotel room.
Did you request them to take it out?
Didn't turn it on. It was up to her. I said, you could turn the TV on if you want.
Yeah.
Turn it on for 5 seconds, turned it right off.
I didn't really watch TV in the hotel room.
No, there was... No, we had like... This is the way the day would go at Disney. We'd go to the park during the day.
Of course.
Then we'd have like 3.5 hours in between that and dinner to go back to the room and take a nap. No TV.
What was the... do you have a favorite ride? Is Splash Mountain still there? got Disney. Yeah, is it?
No, it is not.
Splash Mountain was the goat back in the day.
There was a log flume at Magic Kingdom. We didn't go to it because Val doesn't like them. I would say Tron. The Tron ride, the Tron roller coaster at Magic Kingdom was pretty sick.
Nice.
Because you're on like a motorcycle, so you lean forward, and then they strap you in like from behind. It's terrifying.
Nice.
Yeah, it was terrifying. What's next?
You never went through this because you never won anything. Not a damn thing, actually. But how are the Eagles handling the offseason? Spike grilling Mike Quick.
I felt it when I said that.
I know.
Well, I wanted to ask what the right way to handle it is, but I also want to acknowledge, I don't want to get him to say, well, I don't know. I don't know. So I never did.
You had to remind him?
Well, you do it to Ike all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Mike Quick's fine. His life is great.
He's got it. He made it.
Yeah, he made it. What's next?
Spike and Jack deserve a gold medal for the mental gymnastics they're going through to not ask their Eagles guests about Jalen. Mark and Motko.
Didn't ask one question. Didn't ask any of them if he was elite.
Yeah.
What they think about him.
I'm trying to think. I know what answer Mike Quick would have given.
Yeah.
He's too good at this.
Yeah.
Trot would have dodged the question a little bit, is my prediction. This is me. Like, I don't have any. Javon Kearse would have been a good one because he doesn't know.
I know.
Like, he doesn't know what he's stepping into.
Sure.
Could have asked the freak.
Yeah.
Could have asked Javon Kearse. What's next?
Hawaii is a little past Australia. Where did I go wrong? Jack's elementary school social studies teacher.
A little past Hawaii. I think it's 5,000 miles past Hawaii.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's only a, what, 10, 12-hour flight?
That seems pretty far away. Well, because how far is, like, Japan from here? Like, how long? Isn't that flight only, like, 14 hours?
I don't know how far.
Well, why is it so much? Because,
because it's under, it's south.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's further over. What do you?
I just don't know why it's that far.
Because Japan's not like right next to Australia.
Yeah, but it's the same
side. What's next?
Spike in Italy. It's over. And you know what? I'm leaving and going back to my happy place. Spike's ex-girlfriend. You're going back to America? Spike. No. Euro Disney. Alex in Lancaster.
Yep. You are an adult Disney goer. Something you used to rail against.
I went to Disney. I had a good time. I am not a Disney adult.
Yep.
And I will never be a Disney adult.
You had the Mickey Mouse ears and everything.
I did not have Mickey Mouse ears. I didn't even wear one Disney thing while I was there.
Nice. Sounds like you had a great time.
I did have a great time.
I know.
I just wasn't all Disneyed up.
I know.
What's next?
Actually, Spike, in 1972, I lost vision in one of my eyes due to a snake bite, and I still drove from San Diego to Maine in 4 hours.
Ken and Cinnaminson still needlessly correcting Spike on random things.
Yeah.
He has a very high opinion of himself.
He does.
Yeah.
I think Ken's a good caller.
He is.
His smugness used to drive me crazy, and now I'm actually in awe of it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. He always come back around.
He got one thing right. Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, I know.
And by the way, he said, whoa, let's talk about Nick Sirianni versus Rob Thompson after one of them, you know, wins a championship. It's like, bro, you said Nick Sirianni was the best coach in the league before he won a championship.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Are you strutting around?
I know. And they had the same resume before.
Yes.
We'll see how this.
I would think Nick Sirianni's a great coach. Yeah. Absolutely. But let's be honest. Ken from Cinnaminson got one thing right.
Just like OG Wade.
Yep.
And now he sends his producer everywhere.
Yeah. What's next?
Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge, and I'm thinking, maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Jack's sad and lonely golf clubs in the car.
Yep. Yep.
You bringing your golf clubs is excellent. I wish you walked them up here.
So I knew that wouldn't go well. I could feel me being made fun of from a mile away. But
if you had brought them up
here. Yeah. Now, if there's still range balls out there when I go down there, I'm going to go get some hacks in.
Are you allowed to do that? You're not a member.
I'm a former member. I'm a former member.
I don't think there's like an alumni thing at golf clubs.
There should be.
I don't think there is.
Do they know who I am?
What's next?
Holla at your boy! Ike arriving at a movie right when it's ending.
Yep. Yep. Again, was supposed to be here at 5:30.
Yep.
No Ike.
What did we get? About 8 minutes of Ike today?
Yeah, 8 minutes of Ike.
He took a vacation day.
Yep.
It's on him.
How many more charity golf outings can he find?
Yep. As many as he can. Any other former Eagles? He's calling Mark McMillan. Hey, you got a golf tournament?
Yeah. How many former Eagles have golf
tournaments? Have golf tournaments? He's flying across the country.
Yep, and there's Ike.
Yep. What's next?
For those keeping track, let the record show that Spike's coaching up of OK Andrew has yielded one of the single most boring callers in the history of the show.
Whoa.
Tim in Newark.
Look, I fixed OK for 3 weeks.
I think he's uncoachable. Well, I just think he's a lost
ball. Well, by the way, the person who's trying to coach him now is Corey.
Yeah.
And that's not on me anymore. Yeah.
No, I know. It's out of your hands.
Yeah. Okay is, he loves the show. That's, I think, actually, I'm setting the rule. Okay, Andrew has 40 seconds when he calls from now on. Then I want the horn to go off.
Like the Flyers in 50?
Yep.
He gets more if it's a good call.
Okay in 40.
Yep.
Yep. What's next?
I'm a huge Safari guy. OK Andrew, as he opens up the Safari web browser on his iPhone.
Oh, right on time.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, man. Was it 5:53?
Yeah, wow. Right on time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to miss it. Wow. Yep. You're grinding to get back here. I know it.
There it is. He pulls up as the show ends.
It's unbelievable.
Classic.
Text line just ended.
Yep. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be whole tomorrow. The show will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.